take a pour. La la la.
Hey guys! So, whatever. How are you guys doing? Am I streaming on two YouTube videos, Nick? Maybe I shouldn't have had you do anything. how you guys doing? I am fine. Oh, no. Did you stop the other video? Oh, man, what a mess. I shouldn't have had him do anything. It just created a new, video, and then he's, I don't know what he did. But anyway, I am live on YouTube somehow, some way. We won't worry about it. We'll figure it out tomorrow, or figure it out later. Okay. Terrible. Man, that's bad though. That's bad. That's not good. By the way, guys, I am wearing a Better Not Bitter t-shirt. Better Not Bitter. You can get yours at bondrebuildingtheman.com/stores. Rebuildingtheman.com/stores. And that's how you can find the Better Not Bitter t-shirt. Right now, I need to be better, not bitter. I messed up the stream setup, and so I'm all thrown off. Shaking my head. Nice. Anyway, let me get to Joe in Phoenix, Arizona, who's on the line here. Joe, thank you for calling, man, and thank you for holding there. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good, doing well. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Was that you telling Jesse about Larry Bird?
No. I don't know anything about... I didn't know... I was a kid during Larry Bird. I liked Magic Johnson.
Interesting. Okay.
Magic Johnson was the Lakers, L.A., and yeah. I liked the Lakers.
Yeah, they're both fantastic players. So.
Nice.
So, your co-host...
For those who don't know, he was referring to a call on the Jason Lee Peterson show just like 10 minutes ago of the Great White Hope being called Larry Bird. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
So, your co-host, Himmler, had a lot to say about me and you last week.
You're my co-host. It's the Hake and Snake show.
No, it's the Hake and Himmler show.
I have a snake in my hand, a snake puppet in my hand, which is supposed to be symbolizing Joe from Phoenix. The snake pit is in the chat. You're not the only snake. That's okay. Joe from Phoenix.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But I never heard a so-called grown man whine and complain and beg so much to get somebody else banned.
Oh. But you want JLP to get banned, and you're gleeful about Alex Jones getting banned. You're gleeful about Trump getting banned. All kinds of stuff.
Never said gleeful about Trump or Alex Jones. Never said
you didn't say it, but
shit-based consequences.
You didn't say you're gleeful, but we can see the glee. We can hear the glee in your voice.
I like for criminals to face the consequences. Yeah.
See.
And I do want to clarify my take on Jesse.
Oh, okay.
The whole reason I started calling you guys to begin with wasn't for to get you banned, because I said in my very first call, Jesse, that I agree with a lot of what he says, and I prefer for him to be more effective, James. Like my call a few while ago about Full Metal Jacket. That's my whole point with both you guys. I want you to be effective, because the poor black community does have big problems. And there are answers, but you have to be effective about it. And just, you know, Jesse's been doing this for 30 years, and according to him, things could be getting worse and worse. Perhaps we should try a different strategy.
Oh, but for the few, God is looking for the few. So Jesse's a Christian and he's a preacher. My hand is getting tired from this. I was using the puppet to move its mouth while you spoke. Shout out to Carver for this cobra stretchy hand puppet. Thank you, Carver. It's a cobra, green one. Mm-hmm.
Can I give you a quick 1 minute story about what I mean by being effective?
Okay, sure.
All right. So, as you know, I coach basketball both for the middle school team here and a club team. So, about a year and a half ago, I had a player, probably one of my favorite players of all time, little white kid by the name of Trey, came from a wealthy family. Small kid, didn't have a lot, hardly any talent at all, but one of my favorite all-time players because that kid had a huge heart and would run through a wall for me. He was always trying his best and trying really, really hard. So it was a joy to coach him. Long story short, his parents ended up getting a divorce. Very sad. His mom had to move about half an hour away for work. This means that made it tough for him to get to practice on time and all of that. And when she moved away, Trey wanted to play on my club team, and my club team practices on Saturday morning. So the mom couldn't make it. So I said, you know, listen, why don't you just have Trey sleep over at my house on Friday night, and I'll take him to practice, and you can come get him in the afternoon. Worked out great. Okay? Trey had an older brother. I say had because he's dead now, which is very sad. But when the divorce happened, the older brother got into drugs and hanging out with the wrong crowd and all that, started dealing drugs and ended up getting shot and killed. Very sad. But when the mom asked Trey why wasn't he going on the same path as his brother, he said one thing. He says, I wouldn't want to disappoint coach. Now, that's not to praise me, Hake. It's not about me, because I'm just one person. What it's about is being a mentor, leading by example. And that's what the people that Jesse talks about with the blacks that are in the ghetto and they're doing all the crime and the problems, that's what they need, to be led the right direction. That's how you make change, not by insults, denigrations, and stereotypes. Does that make any sense to you at all?
No, I beg to differ.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because you seem not to hear the many callers who've called in of all races, men and women, and young people and old, who've realized that JLP is right about what he says, and they've turned around. So he's the light of the world, and it sounds like you're jealous of that. Somehow.
Jealous of Jesse. Yeah, okay. No, I have a caller say that Jesse's advice about forgiving and not being angry has helped them. And that part I have no problem with. That's all fine and good.
That's his main message.
Yeah, well, I don't see how calling most black people retarded and evil and all the other stuff he does as well is, you just kind of want to hand wave that away, James. And that's my problem with Jesse. Not the other stuff that I can agree with. Work hard, get married before babies, have your own business. All that stuff is fantastic.
You sort of remind me of Obama.
In what way?
In that he would talk about, you know, fathers and stuff like that, and
sure.
He'd talk out of both sides of his mouth, though, really. Because he would also give credence to this victimhood and racism stuff. And
never heard him say that. That was an excuse. He always said, overcome it.
What?
Never heard him say that. Racism was an excuse to do poorly in life. He always said, overcome whatever problems you face.
But that's not what I'm saying. He brought up the fake idea of racism itself as something to be upset about, complain about, and That's the way you do.
I've never said that racism should be complained about.
Well, that's what you do every time you call in and complain about stuff that Jesse or I say about black people.
That's because it has real-life effects, James.
See, this is what I'm talking about with, like, comparing you to Obama, because you have this, what is it? You have this communist spirit that's against the freedom of speech, the freedom to tell the truth. You hate people's freedom to tell the truth, and that's what the communists do. They make the excuse of shutting down the freedom to tell the truth, calling it racist and hate speech, and we need to shut it down, and you are gleeful in that.
Are you seriously arguing for hate speech, James?
That's why I call it. That's why. Do you believe there's such a thing as hate speech?
Legally, 100% there is, yeah.
In America?
Yeah, James, we have hate speech laws in America, yeah.
Wow. See, and you're supporting that.
Well, you and I see it very differently.
I guess that's a yes. You support the hate speech laws.
Sure. I mean, that's what led to many, many deaths, including those eight people in South Carolina by Dylan Roof. 100%, yeah.
See, that's a snake. That's why I call you a snake.
It's just reality, James.
No, it isn't. Anger causes mass shootings and stuff like that. Not ideology or...
spurred on by lies and hateful rhetoric and all that. That's what killed Malcolm X. And it wasn't even racially. It was just jealousy and hatred.
Right, exactly. And that's what JLP preaches against. That's what I try to preach against, too.
Spurred on by
and JLP is an and JLP is a living example of not being angry. Whereas you're an example of being angry and of being a mama. A nicey nice mama. And an intellectual.
Call it what you want, James.
And a hater, a snake.
Means nothing to me, you know that. When you start calling me names and all that, it just rolls up my back.
A snake in the grass trying to take down somebody who's actually being effective.
30 years, and according to him, things keep getting worse. How is that effective?
Because there are people who are waking up. He's not supposed to change the world. He's supposed to light the way so that people can change in their hearts, which they have.
Well, I tell you, you have no proof that A and B.
So you don't hear these thousands of calls. We'll say
thousands, huh?
You don't hear these calls, I'll call them thousands, of calls of people who've like, oh, you know what, you really helped me, I just dropped the anger. No proof of it, though. No proof of it.
The anger stuff, I said, yeah.
You said no proof of it.
We're talking about two different subjects.
No, we're not. We're talking about the same thing.
No, we're not. We're talking about two different things.
Oh, okay, so I'm talking about the truth, and you're talking about smears.
The anger and the forgiveness stuff, I'm all fine with that. Fine. That's all fine. But
have you done it yourself?
Have I done what?
Forgiven.
Forgiven who?
The people that you're angry at.
You keep saying I have anger, and that those are your words, not mine. So think what you like, James. But what I can say...
Is that a no, you haven't?
When people accuse me of hating my people, I have the proof and the receipts.
Is that a no you haven't forgiven?
Countless players and almost all white 4-H kids that looked at me as someone who has loved them and helped them along the way in life. So I have the receipts, I have the proof.
Notice and that he's changing the subject.
The idiots can think what they want.
Notice that he's changing the subject.
I'm not saying the subject.
There you are. I asked you a question and you completely sidestepped it to... Tout your laurels.
I finished my own thought without you trying to derail me.
No, we were having a conversation. You said there's no proof, and I gave you proof, and then I asked you, since you said you're fine with the dropping the anger stuff and the forgiveness stuff, I asked you if you've dropped your anger and done forgiveness toward people you're angry at, and you said I'm not angry, and you changed the subject.
Yeah, because I'm not angry. I mean, that That's all your narrative. I'm not an angry person. You can call me angry all you want to. I'm a snake and a communist and a woman and all those things. Those things mean nothing to me, James. Go ahead.
Then how come you can rattle them all off if they mean nothing to you?
Because you say them every time we talk.
All right. Well, this has been fruitless. Thanks for calling in, you snake.
You're welcome. I'm sure your co-host Himmler, the cyanide coward boy, will call in sometime too. So.
Wow, so you're so mean to your fellow Christians.
Yeah. Anyway, have a good day, James. Talk again.
Bye. Josh in Georgia on the line here. Josh, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, man. How you doing?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I was calling about just the tendency to intellectualize information, the Bible, or wisdom, and basically, like, how I'm not sure when I do it or if I can stop myself, but I guess I wanted to ask you about your take on, like, your definition of it. Is it the same thing as, Sean said, brought up the unearned wisdom quote?
Yeah.
Is it that, or I don't know that we earn wisdom. You know, it's almost like, is that, maybe I'm overthinking.
Yeah, you're hung up on the word, I think.
maybe. Would you say it's just as simple as intellectualizing something is not completely knowing what it means, but knowing that it sounds good and it feels good to say it, and I don't know, because it's like we have intuition that kind of we can know something without knowing how we know it, but I don't know. I ultimately see it as a vice, you know, like it's just something you have to watch and hopefully it'll fall away. Because when I try not to intellectualize stuff, I end up second guessing myself on stuff that I know already. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I follow that somewhat.
Yeah.
What's your question or statement?
I guess the question is...
It could be a comment, but...
Yeah, or a comment. maybe it's possible that this is something that really can't be put into words, but how to avoid unearned wisdom or intellectualizing, or can we avoid it, or is it just like a vice that only God can take away from us?
Oh.
Go ahead.
You have an example?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, for this biblical question for this week, I think I have the perfect answer.
You're referring to JLP's biblical question, would you rather
I was going to call something or do something. Week, probably an answer. But it's like, you've called me out on it before, and I want to be called out on it.
On being an intellectual or being in your head about stuff?
Yeah, but yeah, overthinking it, and that's, you know, that's what I wanted to avoid it, but I suppose I can't.
Yeah, I don't think that, because it sounds like you're even right now trying to figure it out.
Yeah, right.
Which is, like, you're getting lost in your head about it. Yeah. unearned wisdom, I like the term unearned wisdom. Beware of unearned wisdom was a quote that Sean, JLP's producer, has shared. Beware of unearned wisdom. And it kind of speaks to my facts versus truth. Facts are not truth. You can spout off stuff that's factual. It's from the Bible. It's something that JLP says or whatever. And it's, you don't know it. You're not living it. You're just preaching, empty preaching. So, right. And that's kind of like unearned wisdom because you haven't lived to realize that yourself.
Right.
But there's,
I see that.
But,
I see that in me a lot. Go ahead.
But there's stuff that, there's stuff that you may see and, you just like get caught up in your head and you doubt or you cave to the temptation because you don't, because you still have this, you're still possessed, you know?
Right. Right.
And so you just be patient. Right. I think what you just have to do is be patient with yourself. Like, yeah. Say you know you need not to contact that person and bug them or in the past, right?
Right.
And then you've done it, and it's like, oh, no, what in the world did I just do? But you already know that even that is possession because you're just caught up in the pride of having faltered and judging yourself for faltering.
Yeah.
So you're just getting lost.
Yeah.
So the much. I think the solution is just present. Be present. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you seem to, I guess you being, you know, with working with Bond for so long, you seem to not, I mean, you do a good job at not at still being yourself and not like really getting high on like all of the wisdom that's going on over there, you know.
Oh, so like it seems more. It seems to you like I'm not ever on my high horse and on an ego
it's
trip.
It's like it's hard to be around all that and listen to that and not
Well, I mean, I know how to present myself well, but that doesn't mean that I'm never that way. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
If you
listen to the show a lot. Maybe that's what I drive a lot for work,
uh-huh.
And I'm constantly listening to you and all the whole network. And it's like, I guess maybe it's too much listening, but it does kind of, I don't know, I automatically, I guess the devil uses the truth to you know, lie.
Yeah.
That's facts versus truth, yeah.
Yeah, and don't, like, look at somebody else's life and say, oh, they're somebody else's way of being, say, and say, yeah. Oh, they're, how does he do that? Or, I mean, it's kind of interesting sometimes. It's like, oh, you can appreciate what appears to be a strength of somebody, but
not compare.
Yeah, you don't want to compare, and you don't want to judge them as better than you or good or having it or anything.
Yeah, that's right.
You just appreciate if they're right, they're right. If they're wrong, they're wrong. And the next instance, they may be right, or the next instance, they may be wrong. Right. It's kind of like I did a Saturday recording that I streamed on Sunday. You probably caught it. You were there.
I
talked about these pastors, Mark Driscoll and this John Lindell. They were at that Stronger Men's Conference, and they're just kind of, maybe they were judging one another. It seemed off, both of them, really. But especially the John Lindell guy seemed off when he was like, on his high horse about, oh, the Bible says just go to your brother privately if you have an issue with them. But this was something that was done in public. But my point in that is we saw them in a bad moment. They're our fellow Christians. We don't need to be judging and looking down on them. And even if they weren't Christians, there's no room to be judging and looking down on them.
Yeah. That's the hardest. That's what happened. I mean, with Gerald from Phoenix, you know, it's hard not to judge him.
Right, because like, people get irritated at him and
real irritated. It's like, why that, you're letting him? That's how the devil works, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the hardest thing about just listening to your show and not condemning others, because it's really, you're doing it to yourself, right?
Yeah.
You judge others, you're really judging yourself. So.
True.
That's,
yep.
Yeah. Deep stuff.
Nice. So, yeah, you can. I think you can kind of earn the wisdom. I think you can.
You can. You think you can? See, I don't even know. I don't know.
It's not. It's just. It doesn't. It's not like a pride thing. Oh, I earned this wisdom. It's not okay. Like that. It's just that you suffered through believing the lie that is you, if you will. You right. suffered through the right. ego pain to see it.
Mm.
Or maybe you just saw it and you didn't have to suffer the phony, ego, selfish pain stuff.
Yeah.
False pride. Yeah.
Interesting, yeah. That's
But you, like, see it for yourself. And you're not getting a feeling from, like, knowing it.
Right. You're not, like, holier than thou or lauding it over other people, you know. It's tempting to do that. It's very tempting to, I don't know.
Right on, man.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, I'm going to stay out of my head about it and,
keep on trucking.
Yeah. That's all, you know, that's all I do, man. And I listen to y'all's show while I'm on the road, and that's what I need to, I watch myself while I'm listening. So I'm like, why am I so annoyed by this caller calling in?
Yeah, nice.
Look at how this much this is messing with me. I don't even know this guy. He's in a whole different state, you know, but.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good little.
Nice.
Practice, you know, to watch myself while I'm listening. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Josh. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, man.
All right. Bye. Mark himself is on the line here. Mark in Los Angeles, California. What is up, man?
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Hake. I got two things. I have a comment and a question. The comment is, I'm going to ask you to put your pride aside and apologize to Alexa, the caller from, I think, California that spoke in my defense on Friday and you called her a snake. You owe her an apology. I know you got a lot of pride and you're not going to do it, but if you had any common decency, you would apologize to her. Okay? That's all I got to say on that.
But what do I owe her an apology for?
For calling her a snake.
But she is a snake.
Says you. You call names anytime someone defends me.
No.
You called her a snake, and she, well, you didn't call William a snake, okay, but you called this girl, Alexis, a snake, and all she did, she was very polite, she was very well-spoken, but as soon as she said she favored what I was saying, in so many words, she said that, you turned on her like a snake. Okay, that's that.
But that's not true. Hold on. No. You can't just jump to the next thing because you said something that's not true. Because you're suggesting that I called her a snake for defending you. I didn't call her a snake after
you found out. Play the tape.
I know, but that's not why I called her a snake.
Well, you called her a snake because. Then why did you call her a snake?
Thank you for asking. She asked, do I have white guilt?
Well, you do.
See, you don't even know it, but you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know me.
I heard your conversation with the snake earlier. Now, you were okay today, but normally you concede, you allow him a platform, but I don't want to go into that.
But you're thinking that that's white guilt, and then you have the woman who's listening to the serpent, believe in something that's not even her business.
Well, she
and I explained,
right,
and I explained why I like talking with Joe. Why I keep him on perhaps too long sometimes is I like to argue. But you went to white guilt, some imaginary thing from your imagination, when the much more simple explanation is Hake just likes to argue with people. Ego people like to argue.
Okay, I hope Alexis can hear my voice. I appreciate what you said. You were right. And you, Hake, owe her an apology.
I don't know her apology for saying something untrue about me. She said something untrue about me. And she started asking all these probing questions about how I go about running my show as if that's her business. That's a snake.
No, I don't agree. But you do.
So if you're asking somebody probing and personal and business private business questions, that's not being a snake.
What personal and private business?
She asked you
the thing three times. I didn't hear anything like that.
Because you didn't put yourself in my shoes. How would you like to be asked if you have white guilt just because you're debating somebody a lot?
In your case, it fits.
You didn't answer my question.
Okay, repeat it.
How would you like to be asked, do you have white guilt because you debate somebody a lot?
Well, I can honestly say in my case, I don't. I think white guilt is poison.
You didn't answer my question. How would you like to be asked and accused by multiple people, do you have white guilt just because you argue and debate with somebody a lot?
So me, that's a legitimate question.
No, how would you feel about it?
Wouldn't bother me.
It wouldn't bother you to be falsely accused?
Well, according to you, falsely. You know,
would it bother you to be falsely accused?
Well, of course.
See? So then why are you getting mad at me?
Because you called her a snake.
Because she is a snake. And you're being a mama about it. You're being a mama with her because you're taking the team of the woman who listened to the snake.
What snake did she listen to?
She listened to the snake in you
making up
fake accusations about me. And it was
more name
dumb.
Calling.
Was there a serpent in the garden?
Yeah.
That lied to Eve.
Yep.
And that serpent speaks through human beings who lie.
Okay, and she doesn't fit that category.
It fits you and it fits her.
Well, that's your opinion.
No, that's a fact.
Can I ask you a question?
All right, yes.
Okay, I'm going to quote my commander, and I want to see what you say.
Your dead commander?
A national socialist.
Your dead commander?
Pardon me?
Your dead commander?
Are you going to keep cutting me off, or can I ask my question?
Your dead commander?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, a national socialist is concerned about his race. A conservative is concerned about his money. What category do you fit in?
Huh?
You didn't hear my question? I'll repeat it.
All right.
Okay. Listen carefully. A national socialist is concerned about his race. A conservative is concerned about his money. And I'm going to ask you this again. Where do you fit in?
Neither.
Oh, you're not a conservative. Well, I didn't think you were. And you're not a national socialist.
Why do you not think I was a conservative?
From what you just said, you weren't. You said you're.
I didn't
either.
Say that. Based on that definition, I'm not. But normally, a conservative just means somebody who values right and wrong, right over wrong.
Okay, I could point to Mike Johnson and the Republicans who just gave Israel and the Ukraine $100 billion.
That has nothing to do with me.
Well, they're.
You asked about conservative.
And are you a conservative?
On my definition, not on your definition.
Okay, that's a good way out of it.
But how is it a good way out of it?
Because you conservatives, like the commander said, national.
Are you trying to do an underhanded accusation that I'm more concerned about money than white people?
It was a question I'm asking you.
Right.
Are you a conservative?
But why is there only two issues?
Which category do you fit in?
Are you poor or something?
Pardon me?
Are you poor or rich?
Well, I'm not going to dox myself.
Nice. But are you poor or rich?
middle. I'm in the middle.
Nice.
But really, all things considered here, the girl that
but
called
there's
you
on... No, hold on. Let me finish this point, though, because you brought up the money versus race thing. Why not just be concern yourself with what's right, regardless of race or money?
Okay. Well, fair enough.
Yeah, so that's why I rebelled against your question.
Well, Mike, okay, it was a statement, and the question was, which category do you fall under?
Right. And
that was the question.
And there's a
and
third,
you didn't answer it, but that's
because
fine.
There's a totally different category. I just told you, the other category is what's right.
Okay, so you're okay. Let me try this again. You're not a conservative, or you're a conservative?
I'm pretty conservative.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
you know, I'm center right.
Pardon? Say that again.
I would say I'm like center right.
Okay, that's okay.
I don't even know what that even means, to be honest.
Well, it means you're not a commie, for
right.
one thing.
Yeah.
But again, and I'll leave you.
Why
with
would
this.
You want to be a socialist?
Well, a national socialist.
But
not
you,
a communist.
But you don't want to be taking care of worthless bums.
Not at all.
And there's a whole lot of worthless bums who are in our race of whites now, because they've adopted the anger of the blacks, and they're just angry themselves from their own families.
Well, they're guilty of self-hate.
No, and I'm like not talking about those bums. I'm talking about bums who are pro-white. There's some pro-white bums.
Who would that be?
Some of them, I think, call my show.
Well, I don't know everybody that calls, but
yeah, you didn't know of any. Was it a bum who shot your commander?
Well, he was a Marxist.
But he was on the. Was it a bum? He was a pro-white guy, right?
Well, yeah, but he was a Marxist, and that's why the commander kicked him out, and he came back and assassinated him.
Was how about Dylann Roof? Dylann Roof is that a bum?
Well, a bum is somebody who lives on the street as a homeless person. If that's the definition of a bum.
No, I'm saying bums are whites who are criminals, or they are so hung up on the race they forsake what's right over the race, and they end up. So Dylann Roof is. That's what I mean by bum. So is Dylann Roof a bum? He was pro-white.
Well, I'm not going to, tell you a man who murdered is good, because that may get you banned. And I'm not falling into that trap. I don't want you banned. I want you to stay on the air. But, whether Dylann Roof, he'll pay for it one way or another. He'll be answering to God for what he did.
Right.
But the point
and
is...
And so we shouldn't be taking care of bums.
Say that again?
We shouldn't be taking care of bums.
How do you mean taking care of?
Giving them money that they didn't earn.
Well, no one should get that.
Well, that's what socialism is. I think that's what nationalist socialism is, too.
That's not national socialism. That's the difference. They're
diametrically
opposed. But again, and I'll let you go with this. If you don't do anything else, put your pride aside and apologize to Alexis.
You haven't explained why I owe her any apology.
Because you called her a name that, and you started it. You called.
No,
listen to the tape. Listen to the tape.
I didn't start anything. She started asking all these probing questions, listening to lies.
No, she said that you were hard on me and you were easy on the other guy. And it was all through every word she said. Was true.
Could it be your biased because you're caught up in your own ego? She was talking about you. She's talking about you. So you're of course going to like her because she's liking you.
Well, all she did, and you called her a snake for it.
No, I didn't call her a snake for saying that you're fine, saying that you made a lot of good points. But you've said all kinds of cockamamie things.
Give me an example.
White guilt, for one.
Well, that's a matter of opinion. I bet you if most people listen to your conversation with your co-host, they would agree. Most objective people.
Do most people, but you're not objective? Do most people make something true? Most people believe in something? Does that make it true?
Depends.
Does the Bible say that Who knows what goes on in a man's heart except for the man himself?
Okay.
The Bible
okay,
says that, right?
That. Right.
So then why are you guys speculating about what's going on in my heart, why I keep Joe from Phoenix on? Do you accept my explanation that I just like to argue?
Well, that's a good excuse to keep your show popular, and I appreciate it. But I can tell you this.
Does it make sense to you?
I'll bring in more
Mark.
Listeners than he will.
Does it make sense to you that I just like to argue?
Well, sure, that's fine.
So but then why do you have to people, why do you have to come up with this crazy idea of white guilt?
Because just the tone, just the things that are said between you two, half the time you're conceding that he's right. Half
no,
the time,
I'm not.
And you do argue. You do argue with him. But again, the reason I don't like that he gets all that airtime is because he wants to take you down. He's conning you. I told you that the other day. It's a con game. He's trying to make you feel good about talking to him. And in reality, he wants you out of here.
So do you.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Yeah, you are wrong. Because, I mean, you're not wrong about him. You're not wrong about him. But you're making up stuff about me. So you're making up stuff, excuses.
No. He wants you banned.
Right, but you're liable to get me banned, too.
No, I'm not trying to. He's trying to.
Right.
Okay, there's a big difference there.
There's not much difference.
I go out of my way to make sure I don't say anything that's going to get you in trouble. I respect you, and I respect your show. I just didn't like what you said to Alexis. It was uncalled for. She didn't say anything against you. She didn't call you any names.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
After you called her a snake, she replied that you were an evil snake. But that's in a response. It was a reaction.
No. It started long before that.
Say it again?
It started long before that.
Well, that's the first time I've ever heard her on your show.
No. I'm talking about in that very phone call.
She called you a name?
She didn't have to call me a name to be a snake. Marxists and communists will say all kinds of snaky things without ever calling a name.
What did she say that was sneaky?
I gotta go, Mark from Los Angeles. We've already gone over this.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're not getting it. All right. Bye. Take care. What a mess. Jaime in Minnesota is on the line here. Jaime, how are you doing? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's windy out here.
Right.
Hey, I listened to when that lady called you.
Yeah.
She is a snake.
She is a snake?
Yeah, she's a snake. She was accusing you of being whatever that was.
What else did she bring up?
She wasn't even asking you or, you know, saying, could it be this? Which, you know, would be fair to ask somebody. Hey,
one of the things about Mark is that he's afraid about what's going on in the country, and he'll believe... I don't know, he's just a fearful, angry person. But he's no different from Joe with that fear and anger.
They're the same.
Yeah, because Joe is afraid that he says stuff that Jesse says has real-world consequences, which the real-world consequences are some people wake up, other people don't. They stay asleep.
Right.
Yeah.
And you ever seen that movie, American History X?
I did.
The Mark fella, he kind of sounds like that older man who's kind of trying to be their teacher, the white racist guy.
I don't really remember the movie that well, but what you just said reminds me of what John from Kentucky said, that John from Kentucky said that that's what he sounds like too.
Yeah, they're both wrong, though. And I wanted to talk to you about ethos, pathos, and logos.
Okay.
They're the three parts of doing a speech when you want to do a speech to sway people's minds.
All right.
And, like, logos is the logical part of your speech.
Yeah.
You know, the facts and the truth of it. And then I believe ethos is, like, how your own... when you talk about your professionalism, like what gives you the authority to speak on the subject, you know?
Okay.
And then the last part, pathos, is the emotional part, whether you're trying to make somebody angry or trying to make them feel sad or things like this.
Okay.
So the way that Joe speaks, if you put his words into those categories, he uses an ethos. He talks about what he does, you know, why you should listen to him.
Yeah.
You know, the thing with the 4-H and the thing. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm not saying that. I'm just, you know, describing the way he talks. But then he'll also use some of that pathos, try to, I don't know if he does he?
I forget what the pathos is.
Emotions,
okay, yeah, totally. No, he tries to say that the JLP telling the truth about how bad the blacks are is making it more dangerous for people like him.
Yeah.
That's fear.
Trying to
And he's justifying it with just by being an evil person.
Into the listener, the people that listen to the show.
Oh,
but Mark
okay.
does a lot of that pathos too, the anger.
Yeah.
Anger. And if you get the mix right, you can give a good speech or, you know, a good talk or a good talking on the talk show, you know.
Logos is the logic. Ethos is the your authority. Your how you project authority, and pathos is the emotion.
Yeah, the emotional part of the speech.
Okay,
but like a guy like that fellow that talks about the Civil War.
Yeah,
he uses a lot of logos. You know, and you know I like it. I like listening to that guy.
Yeah,
you know. And
Daniel from
bit
Texas
of pathos, talks about a little bit of why you should listen to him.
Yeah,
but these people that use a lot of pathos, the emotions,
uh-huh.
Joe, Mark, the Pharaoh, Maze.
Maze
use
uses emotion.
They use a lot of pathos. What was that?
Maze uses a lot of emotion.
Oh yeah, she projects emotion.
She pulls emotion out of other people. She jumps to crazy conclusions about what people are thinking and saying and doing and changes the subject. It's something that she's using. I guess it would have to be pathos, because it's definitely not logical, and it's definitely she's definitely not an authority.
No.
I don't think.
And I'm sure she is. And if you study... How those three work together.
Uh-huh.
It talks about why some people use more pathos than the other two. Like, you'll talk more trying to, like, you know, the evil mamas.
Yeah.
Probably use a lot of emotion in the way that they tried to build an army against people and things like that.
Right.
Or try to manipulate people because maybe they're not, there's no logic.
Yeah.
So I imagine that Maze is somewhat that way.
Interesting.
But yeah, you can dissect these people. And a good speaker like Jesse, he uses all three, but mostly logos. You know?
Mostly the logic?
Yeah. Mostly like, this is what it is. This is why, you know.
Right.
Like Hake does. Hake, when he does the Hake news.
Logos. Okay.
Maybe a quip or, you know, something funny.
Right.
And then move on.
True.
So, yeah, that's interesting. But that's why Mark and Joe are so annoying, is they use so much pathos.
Oh.
Yeah, and...
they're very accusatory, both of them.
And, yeah, so...
Pretty
but
vicious.
Did you hear about the guy that set himself on fire?
I did,
week?
Yeah.
That's nuts. They have the video and everything is... Oof.
Did Anchor Baby cover it? I thought that Anchor... Oh, yeah, he did cover it on his Friday Nick stream. And JLP, I think, covered it today. So this communist, anarcho-communist white man, I think. I don't know if he was a normal white. How can you be a normal white and be a liberal? But he set himself on fire outside of the Trump courthouse when Trump is dealing with these kangaroo courts, right? But this guy is saying that Trump and Biden are on the same team and we need to start a revolution. And was he falling for the Israel-Palestine war drama? Like, he's like feeling sorry for the Palestinians and wanted to. What was his thing?
Well, I heard that he had some conspiracy theory pamphlets, and that's what I think the FBI had said. He has some pamphlets about a conspiracy theory of the government. And so, yeah, he fell for a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
But if you notice that those conspiracy theories, even like the flat earth, if you listen to the music that they play behind it, it's always this kind of soaking music,
right?
Like the churches do. To give emotions, because people are weak when it comes to emotions. It's a sad thing.
But it's not as feel-good soaking. It's more like, but it's the same idea. It's using that pathos, if you will.
To bring fear into people so that they fall for this conspiracy theory.
It sounds sort of dark and doom-ish, right?
And And this white man, you know, poor white people, you know, white people have it bad right now.
You're talking about the guy who set himself on fire.
Yeah, even though, you know, he's a not normal white,
and
immoral white, he's still a white man.
You know? Right.
And he killed himself because he fell for it. It's not good, man. Can't be doing that kind of stuff.
I think that the whites are so self-destructive. And wasn't it a white man who was in the military, the U.S. military, and set himself on fire outside the Israeli embassy or something like that? And was that in America or was that in... Or the U.S. Embassy in Israel or somewhere. Remember that one a few months back?
Yeah, that latest one, the one before this one.
Yeah. Another
flight. Yeah, Navy guy. I think he was in the Navy or Air Force or something. And he was all like, I can't stand for this. You know, the government's helping.
Genocide, huh?
The Enocide-y.
Yeah, Enocide-er, Janae.
Enocide-J.
Yeah.
which he fell for it too.
Yeah.
It's no good.
Don't be a liberal, whites. That's like twice as bad. But if you have anger, you're a liberal and you are self-destructive.
Right.
And you'll get all crazy on your friends and embrace your enemies. What a mess.
Yeah, and I'm no expert on these things. I only, you know, I know about them because I watch the ABC News and I listen to Hake News and
yeah.
All those things. So I'm no expert.
Right.
But I see what I see.
Yeah. So. It seems to be fit inside of a pattern, these two incidents of guys setting themselves on fire and getting themselves killed. Because there's a lot of suicide among the white middle-aged people. There's a lot of self-destruction and these liberals voting in for their own self-destruction. And also, just, whether you're conservative or liberal, you just kind of, you waste your life when you're caught up in emotions. So.
Yeah. And it could also be that the war is dragging on too long. If you end it quick, then nobody's got anything to say. You know, you can't, but it's getting dragged out too long and people are getting into their heads. And
that's true. Yeah.
I heard something about that in a history book one time where certain wars, presidents, they start to think, oh, this is getting to be too long, and morale at home is getting to be bad, and gotta end it. But they don't think about it early enough. They always think it's going to be over in no time, and it never is.
Yeah, war, you don't want to go to war. That's why I think this guy was wrong, too, because he wanted to start a blanking revolution. You have nothing to lose. Well, there's plenty to lose. You have your life to lose. There's all kinds of destruction that comes with revolution and war, and because revolution is basically war, is what they're asking for. Just destruction of the current order, as unjust as it is, it's going to be replaced by something worse. So, or it's not going to go the way that you think it will go. So crazy. You're right about stuff lasting too long. Terrible.
Yeah, we need that guy Donald Trump in.
Yeah. That's what Nick said too. Like, just wait for Trump to get back in office, because it would be nice if a man of peace were just stand up, but there is no man of peace on the world stage right now.
No. Hey, I tried to look for that interview JLP did with Mark Driscoll.
Yeah.
I tried searching on YouTube. I couldn't find it.
Okay.
Is it lost or?
No, I
maybe on Rumble or
it's on YouTube. Mark Driscoll. It's on his YouTube channel. Jesse Lee Peterson confronts Pastor Mark Driscoll about his controversial book on sex and marriage. I'll post it I'll post it in the chat. But I searched it from his. Let's see. I posted it. I found it from Jesse Lee Peterson's YouTube channel.
Okay.
From back about 12 years ago, 2012, January 11th, it was posted.
All right, great. I'll watch that. Well, you have a good rest of your day, Hank.
All right, you as well. Thank you, Jaime in Minnesota. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Before I get back to calls, guys, I have to stay on track. It is LN Monday. I hope you guys enjoy this track. It is called Modern Day Hobo. It's from the 2004, maybe, album. What album is that? Dirt Floor Hotel, Part 1. The lines are full, guys. I will get right back to you. Super chats I have to touch on, and maybe some news, right? Some of you guys listen to Hake for some news and info. So enjoy LN, Gary Murray. Be right back.
She told me she was out of work. Made a real hard living, pleasing men down at the station. You never knew just what they'd do when they stepped down from that train. Was it lust or just frustration? So stoke the fire. Add some more coal. I ride this train alone. Two rails for a modern day hobo. Let the black smoke fill the air. Fallen angels have dark hair. And if I die today, no one would even know. Met her in a factory 3 years after, while her baby slept alone. I wonder how many angels she had been given, and would another soon be gone? Stoke the fires and add some more coal. I ride this train alone. Two rails for a modern day hobo. Let the black smoke fill the air. Fallen angels have dark hair. And if I die today, no one would even know.
Isn't this nice? LN. Velvet Blue Music. I think.
One last cigarette, and then I will leave you. Lord, you'll haunt my mind. How many times these arms have reached out to hold you? How many times I pray that I could let you go?
Terrible. Don't be hung up.
So stoke the fires and add some more coal. Ride this train alone. To rails for a modern day hobo. With the black smoke. smoke fill the air. Fallen angels have dark hair, and if I die today, no one will even know.
Well, thank you guys for bearing with me through my opinion, the beautiful music. I got to read a few super chats here, guys, before I get back to calls. Some of you guys dropped off. That's okay. Canadian David says, this guy is a hateful mess. He laughs just like Joe, has the same spirit, yet they think they are on opposite sides. Truly amazing to see. Yeah, Joe and Mark. Two peas in a pod. Both Christians, both filled with hatred. That handyman says, conservative means to conserve a value or a way of life. I'm only guessing, but definitely don't apologize, James. Don't be a beta like Joe Rogan. American flag emoji. Thank you, that handyman. Donnie Girl's idea says, conservatism is good for the economy, the community, and the home. Anyone who likes abortion at any stage from conception to birth or doesn't oppose open borders is not even close to conservative. Indeed. Over on Streamlabs, Lin Yan Chin gave several Streamlabs. Let me do a new timestamp for this one. I like to do the timestamps, guys. Like the binomial flow of one and zero, or yin and yang, your emotions are in flux, and their fluctuation is in patterns that etch out every thought you experience. Both genius and fool are equally susceptible to the influx of emotion, breeding imagination. Indeed. Thank you, Lin Yan Chin. Jesse is too daft. Daft. D-A-F-T. Define. Silly. Foolish. Oh. To sense the correct order of progression, but thoughts are indeed the progeny of emotions. And that is why they can stimulate further emotion, but only of the specific types used to form each thought. Jesse sports a halfway understanding. I censored it a little bit. thoughts whose compound emotions balance out as negative or positive will pile like with like in consolidating a new influx of emotion to mutate a thought toward its fullest resolution, as per the limits of your IQ. This is simple, is it not? I suppose so. When a thought is completed to the limit of your mind, it escapes you as it borrows into other minds, seeking to be made whole as each more powerful mind grants greater and greater resolution to each thought flowing in society. Jesse sees this part right. Nice. Thank you, Lin Yan Chin, for the thoughts on emotions leading to thoughts and mutating into something great. Greatly evil or greatly good, maybe. Maybe it's always evil. Kale over on Streamlabs says, the snake talking with Joe is the best I've seen in a best bit I've seen in a while, where I have this snake that Carver sent to Hake, because it's the Hake and Snake show, and I chatted, made it chat, because it's a puppet, along with Joe from Phoenix. Thank you, Carver. Indeed. Lin Yan Chin says, to apologize is to submit yourself to the pulse of insecurity that defines whomever you apologize to. This is why forgiveness is the opposite of apology. As opposed to Jesse's lie that began in 2020, apologizing for hating is forgiveness. Interesting, Lin Yan Chin. Caller after Mark is a woman. Men do not use logos, pathos. He says it's pathos, not pathos. Idiot caller, he says. Or doctrine or theology, or any other woman, a.k.a. intellectual term, about tangents that mean nothing other than making you feel smart in your distraction delusion. I did get lost in the pathos, ethos, or pathos, 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 ethos, or ethos, and logos discussion. But I think something was left out. I think he left something out that would bring it all together. It's a thought that I did not grasp. But I agree. I did ask during my beach stream, speaking of apologizing, right? Was I too hard on poor Alexis? Was I too hard on her? All right. I'll get to the coffees later. I'm getting bored with the super chats and I want to read them with energy. So before I get back to calls, let me get to this. I don't know if this is pertinent, but let me do this BitChute comment. Okay, so this BitChute comment I came across on my BitChute, the Hake Report on BitChute, asking, please take this with an inquisitive tone and not an attack. Why do you trust him being our greatest president, Trump? He was pushing the vax quite hard for a long time. He wasn't pushing it. He was pushing it. He was promoting it. He was saying, oh, you know, it's the greatest achievement of mankind. I don't know. I don't keep up with Trump's speeches. I just see him every now and then when they put him out there on the news. And every statement that he makes is, like, perfect. But he was never for forcing the vax. And only stopped when he was practically booed off stage for it in recent times. I also find his support of Israel disturbing. Because if you know what the Schmalmud says about Shmoyim, you know that they are not our friends. And really, have made themselves our enemies by following that philosophy. Of course, not all shmews read and follow the Schmalmud. But even just listening to a rabbi puts them in suspicious territory. Oh yeah, you don't expect them to be your friends. You do not expect them to be your friends. Much like brainwashed college liberals under the influence of the deranged professors, the liberal, brainwashed liberal, may not realize they are following communist doctrine, but their professor likely does. Same with them. Oh yeah, people are useful idiots. They're not to be trusted. I know that. I don't know how much Trump knows that. I think he knows better than me, maybe. That. But he has to work with people. And when you get to that level, that's all there is to work with. So you got to work with them. That's partly what I'm saying. Trump condemning the Schmolocaust, well, I guess I shouldn't say that, has been proven in multiple courts by multiple people not to have happened, or at the very least nowhere near the extent portrayed, and not for reasons portrayed or how. Yeah, I know there's a lot of truth to the reasons given. Oh, they were just scapegoated. There could be some of that happening, but that's not the entire thing. Yeah. It's people live in completely different worlds. And they both live in worlds of lies. But some are more factual in their lies. Because the bigger lie that they both believe is the anger. Both the anti-Jays and the Jays, pro-Jays and all them, are a mess. But yes, very fake news and becomes very fake history. We've seen that with Charlottesville. We've seen that with January 6th. We've seen that over and over with Trump himself, over and over again, smeared and lied about in the media. I could perhaps excuse Trump for being ignorant on this topic, as it's been a very successful fabrication, says this person, 868. For what it's worth, I'm not sure. I'm still not sure what to make of Trump. I don't know if he's just playing his role extremely well, or if he may be a good guy who's poorly informed on some things and got duped along with the rest of us as he listens to his advisors. I would think he's been around the block enough times as a billionaire for decades that he would know better by now, though, unless he really is something. Somehow playing 16D chess, I would love it. Or if he or anyone was the good guy. Like I said in my comments, that he's a genuine guy. I don't expect him to do everything right. Just a genuine guy. I'm not caught up with the, I'm not really into the Israel thing. I get that it's consequential. But as Israel goes, there's a good way and a bad way. There's a better and worse way to support them. There's a better and worse way not to support them. And his is the better way as far as supporting them. And the people who don't support them are the ones who are not winning. Except for the people who don't support the among the side that doesn't support Israel. The ones who are closer to winning are the ones who hate you the most. So would you rather have the Trump who doesn't really hate white people? Although he condemns, you know, white supremacy and blah, blah, blah. He's a boomer. Cut him some slack. Who loves America, but also loves Israel? Or do you want the haters of Israel who also hate you? Because the haters of Israel who also hate you are the ones who are closer to toppling Trump. Or whatever, I don't know. They're the ones who are gaining the ground. They don't love you. It's not as though they hate Israel out of love for the whites. And the people who hate Israel out of quote-unquote love for the whites, that's not real love either. They're not to be trusted. Look at how they started backbiting one another and infighting. It's terrible. Hope that helps, man. He also said, he seemed to be dancing around stating plain truths, such as saying Schmaxine and Schmoyum and stuff like that, just so you can stay on YouTube. Yes. Yes. Because he was questioning my integrity when I said Schmaxine. If you are doing it because it's where you get the larger audience to get the message out, I can understand that compromise. And encourage you to do what has the most impact. If you're doing it to get a larger audience to make money, as Mark from Los Angeles seemed to be underhandedly accusing me, then the integrity comment stands. I could be misreading Mark from Los Angeles's question. He's like, do you care about your race or do you care about money? If you're doing it both for and finding a healthy balance, I can't blame you for that. Yeah, I'm not really thinking about money when I'm doing my show. Although, get your, do support Bond. Why would I sacrifice something about, why would I sacrifice a channel over something that I don't even care much about? Schmaxine? Everybody knows who's can think for himself or herself to get it or not to get it. Don't follow me. And then as far as the Israel thing, that's going to happen whether or not I say the quote-unquote truth about it or not. And I don't even know the whole truth about it. So, yes, it's to keep my opportunities open. It's not as though the BitChute commenters alone are going to support Hake and keep him afloat if I get censored by YouTube. But it's not about the money. It's really not. YouTube, somebody said, for all of its flaws and how evil and anti-us it is, it's the best user experience by far. So thank you for your BitChute comments. Cool. That kind of felt like more super chats. So I feel like I didn't really give you guys a nice variety there. Let me get to Flor in Guatemala. Flor in Guatemala, how are you doing?
Hi, Hake. How are you? Happy Monday.
Thank you. Everybody loves Mondays.
I don't.
Oh, no, you don't?
No, it's the start of the week, and it's a little bit tough on me because Sundays I usually sleep like a sloth all day long.
So. Whoa. So you don't love Mondays. So you're working. You're a married woman, but you're working because you're not even living with your husband. You're down in Guatemala, and he's up in America. So you just have to work. So you don't like working?
I much rather my work be a housewife, to be honest with you. I think that is a really good goal.
Have you done that already, though? Or are you just imagining that you would like that?
No, I haven't done it yet. I am definitely imagining, like, I can't wait to do it. You know, that's something that my husband and I have spoke about. Like, right now, the reason why I'm working is because I would like to save some money to when I go to the States. And because I would like to be a housewife, right, to stay home and be able to build something with my husband, you know, like I don't want to be a burden to him, you know, so I want to be able to bring something in while we get situated with being two and not just one and one, right?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, as soon as I get to him, the idea is that we can form a family, you know, and with a baby, then that everything will change, you know. I will be 100% a mother. But meanwhile, I guess this is what I have to do to survive.
Yeah, I would suggest staying present, because you don't know what the future is. Don't look forward to something, and you don't know what being a housewife is like. You may have some idea of it in your mind, and then you get disappointed when it's more plain or unexciting or something, and then you're
totally
disappointed.
Right. Yeah.
You don't want to build something up
I
in your mind.
You.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is also, like, with us women, we have, like, this mother instinct, so we really do fantasize about having a baby and a house and
right.
a husband, you know?
Yeah, but you don't want to get into that, because I support being a housewife, of course, but you're getting into this idea of it, and those ideas are evil, if you know what I mean, as you already know. I think you already know.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. That's taken in your suggestion for sure.
Right on.
Appreciate that. But I was actually calling for giving you a testimony, and because I heard the calls and, you know, kind of give you a break from the snakies. So, and I love that puppet. That puppet is adorable.
Nice.
It's pretty cute. So,
see, you hear that, Joe from Phoenix? She thinks you're adorable.
Not Joe, but the snake.
Right.
The puppet.
This is Joe. You're Jesse Lee Peterson is not effective. All right, go ahead.
So, just basically, I was a woman with a full of hate, you know, and my husband was always like, "You should listen to JLB, but I will tune in to him. And there was a complete rejection from my side, right? Like, I was like, what does he mean that we women are evil? You know, like, what does he mean? Like, there was a whole rejection. And actually has taken me, like, a whole year to be able to submerge myself into what he's saying, you know, and with the forgiveness and the mother, you know, and all that stuff that he says. I'm going to try not to be long this time because I know I speak a lot. We're Latinas. It's in our blood. But I was extremely angry at everybody, you know, and it's a possession. And I've been working on myself on that matter a lot. And I am so thankful to JLP and all of you guys, because even though I'm not in the chat all the time, but I am listening, you know, and you guys just opened my eyes basically to reality, you know, not to these demons that are just in your head and they become thoughts and you know, what JLP says, you know, thoughts are evil.
Yeah.
Right. And it took me a while to be able to understand that. And for the past, I will say 6 months, I've been in a very good place where I have forgiven my mother and my father and even my siblings, everybody who I have some type of hate and anger towards, right?
Yeah.
And not too long ago, I had this incident, and it was so clear to me, you know, it was like an eye-opening where I got extremely angry. Like, it takes a lot now to get me angry. And I got so angry that I felt how my body was just shifting into this possession. Like, my body got hot, and I started shaking, and, like, my brain felt like it was being shaken, you know, and like it was exploding. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
But it was so nice to have that, because I realized that is the possession, you know, that is the evilness.
Yeah.
That like I, for the first time, maybe this is like kind of silly or like, oh, you know, like something old for you guys, but to me it was so new, so eye-opening of how angry I was. For like, I would say like an hour, I let it possess me. You know, I completely let it possess me, and I was acting over it, saying things, trying to defend myself, and I was genuinely, I was angry.
Yeah.
You know, and then I was on YouTube, and this short came up of JLP, you know, and he was saying, it's about the anger. He was saying about how anger is evil. And when you're angry, like, there is no reason why you should talk to that person that is angry, because that person is possessed. And it just clicked on my head.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, I'm getting possessed right now.
Yep.
You know, like, okay, what is the next step? What should I do? You know, like, this is all new, because it's different when you're angry and unconscious about it. And it's different when you're angry and conscious about it, right?
Yeah.
So I just basically started praying, you know, and not asking God. Like, I my husband has been very good at that. Like, stop asking God for stuff, you know, just let it flow, you know. And it is incredible how that possession works, you know. And honestly, I wouldn't not being aware of this possession, like, afterwards. When I got my head straight, I slept on it. Then my husband and I talked about it the next day. And it was so nice to be able to just talk about it without having the evil thoughts on your head.
Right.
You know, and it was just so amazing. And I feel like this would have not been achieved if I would have not watched any of you. You know, like, I'm talking about Joelle, the next stream, you and JLP, like, you guys are a team, and you, what you guys do is awesome, you know, especially towards us women, that we're a little bit, well, not a little bit, we're extremely emotional. Yeah. And we get possessed a lot more easier. And I just wanted to say that. I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for what you guys do, really. It's very helpful. And I can hear the snakes calling with the possession, you know, but it's admirable how you guys don't let it affect you. And I'm learning from you guys, you know.
Right on. I can relate to that, what your story about feeling that possession and stuff. It mm-hmm. is kind of encouraging to notice that stuff sometimes and realize, oh, yeah. This is all about me. It's all mm-hmm. about me, and I'm wrong for feeling this way. Like, I'm wrong. This stuff is, like you said, possession. This fake idea yeah. of me, this fake selfishness that just leads to misery anyway. And exactly. it's kind of hopeful, even in the midst of the getting tempted and pulled into those evil thoughts toward others and yourself, this fake self. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really good too that you have people like you guys, because it guides you to be able to recognize it. And also the fact of not being angry all the time is amazing. You know, like, you get to enjoy life. Like, it's like your whole world just become 4K, you know, like, you can see more clear.
Yeah.
You can enjoy life. Like, even I rescue dogs, right? So I have my dogs, and even them, they were angry, you know, like, even for me being angry, they will be angry.
Interesting.
And now, like, we all kind of coexist in a very peaceful environment. And even with my marriage, it helps so much, you know, because, like, my husband is the type of person who he has been able to control his emotions so well.
Yeah.
And I am you know, I'm always exploding with anger. And now it's amazing to be able to talk to him and recognize the evilness in the world, you know, and not be weak anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm very thankful to all of you.
Right on. Appreciate it, Flor.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you again.
No problem. You right. have a good Monday, okay?
You too. Everybody loves Mondays. Bye. Oh, I was going to maybe ask her what she thought of the blacks. Because of Joe from Phoenix. saying, oh, the anger thing is fine. That's fine. But I don't hear, there's no proof of people waking up. Daniel is a first-time caller in New York. Daniel, thank you for calling and holding there, man. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call, Hake. It's an honor to speak with you.
Right on.
I'm actually calling also about Joel in Phoenix.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I find it interesting with this gentleman who he lectures about leadership, yet he spends his time trying to change Jesse and try to convince and change Jesse and yourself, and he's acting like he's this reasonable, soft-spoken man, but he's not acting like a reasonable person. If he really doesn't agree with you guys, if he really believes what he says about leadership, then he should start his own radio show. He should start his own organization instead of trying to spend his days calling into the show trying to get you guys to change. And
yeah,
you know, I noticed that he was trying to like half-heartedly acknowledge that you do good, but he's bitter about it. He doesn't really want to acknowledge it. He's calling in all the time. I've only been listening for maybe like a month or so, but he's calling in every day, all the time.
Right.
And he really should ask himself, why does he have such a need to be right? Because I the way I see it, he's trying to convince himself, you know? And he's always, instead of actually trying to listen, he's only interested in doubling down and passively insulting and guilting others into his viewpoint. That's not, you know, it's not somebody who's having a reasonable conversation, you know?
Yeah. That is an interesting point, man. He's always in the live chat or frequently in the live chat and calling in, especially to my show, because he's kind of given up on Jesse. Jesse will just hang up on him if he tries to talk over Jesse, because Jesse Lee likes an orderly conversation, and that guy has to jump in and try to talk over, and JLP is busy having real conversations with people, you know, like helping people who want the help, and he's not going to waste time on people who don't want to calm down and communicate. So, it's kind of speaks to the point about, what was that? Ethos, where you're coming from a place of believability, where, you are speaking from a position of authority. One thing about Jesus in the Bible, it said, no one else speaks with authority like him. He speaks as someone with authority. And that's what you hear when JLP speaks. He has authority. And Trump, when you hear Trump speak, he seems to speak from just authority, just real. And you hear Joe, and it just sounds shallow, nitpicky, ankle-bitey. And I think you're really right about that. It is something to examine yourself when you're caught up and arguing almost daily or weekly for years. For years. Interesting, man.
You know, I was against Trump for many years. I came to the U.S. and I went to university here, and I was indoctrinated into, I was told the worst things about conservative Americans, that they were the worst people and all this. And then, you know, I lived in Seattle. I lived in mostly New York.
Okay.
Where I didn't really get to interact so much with middle America.
Yeah.
But then I dealt with the institutions here, the federal court, family court, New York City government, and I realized that, I mean, if Trump did anything wrong, he's nowhere close to being the level of criminal that the Democrats are. It's not even comparable, and it's just this game of vilifying and victimizing all the time. But at some point, it just gets so bad. You have to be honest with yourself, and there's nothing wrong with saying, I was wrong, and I need to reevaluate. I need to take a step back and rethink this.
Yeah, that's so true, man. Yeah, I feel like I remember one of your calls on the Jesse Lee Peterson show. You've called his show before, I'm quite sure.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's a nice message. Appreciate that. That's cool that you snapped out of it.
Yes.
and you're going. Yet another testimony. It's good to hear from you, Daniel, in New York. I appreciate you, man. Anything else?
Thank you. I appreciate you too, and I wish you and all the audience all the best.
Are you Scottish or Irish?
I'm Scottish.
Okay, nice.
But I'm from there. I'm American. I'm proudly American. I worked hard to become a citizen. I've been here for almost a quarter century.
Wow! Right on, man.
Yes.
Are you roughly my age, like 40s, 30s?
I'm 42.
Okay, nice. Doxed. It's good to hear from you, Daniel. Call me again, man.
Will do. Have a great one.
All right, you as well. Mr. Pink is on the line. What is up, Mr. Pink? It's good to hear from you, man.
What up, Mr. Hank?
I'm using the pink octopus as my Mr.
That's
Pink
cool.
puppet.
Your show's becoming a regular Sesame Street these days.
Indeed. You know what? I liked Sesame Street, but now I read about it, and it's so liberal.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm
from
not
the
saying
beginning.
It is Sesame Street. Maybe a better version than what's going on these days. You got Cookie Monster eating vegetables.
Wow.
But
trash.
You know, that's all bad. You know, you could use the snake for Mark, too, man.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Yeah,
and what makes you say that? Because Mark from Los Angeles, I like the guy, and there is something refreshing when he just a white man speaking his mind. Sometimes it's a bit vitriolic, and it's like over the top, being nasty to people whom he hates or looks down on.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's the same spirit.
Yeah.
Coming from both of them folks, you know?
You know what, Mark, one of the things...
You know, facts and mindset.
One of the things I... Pardon me for jumping over you. One of the things I remembered that he said was that he hates, because he was accused of hate, and he said, the only thing I hate is race mixing. And he called... and communism, maybe. There was like two things that he hates, and it's one of them is race mixing. And I'm... And Alexis called and said this was like he made good points. Was that one of the good points? Because Alexis sounds Hispanic, which is a race-mixed group. But, I mean, I don't... in my opinion, nobody should be taking it personally if somebody is against race-mixing. It's like they have a... But also...
Mark doesn't even realize, and, you know, I don't want to agree with Joe, but Mark doesn't even realize that he's probably race-mixed, too.
Right.
So is Joe. Like Joe's just like, oh, I'm Irish. It's like, okay.
Oh yeah. I think that, but he's not that mixed. He's like white enough to be, at least I'm talking about Mark. But why hate that? I get that you don't see it as a good thing. I don't like how it's being promoted. But hating it and like, he called Joe from Phoenix a mutt, and I'm like, but that I think that
Mark only thinks that the word conservative means white guy in a trailer park somewhere in America.
No, I mean he's thinking conservatives, he's thinking about the rhinos who are selling out our country. That's what he's thinking about when he's thinking conservatives.
That's probably true.
And he's right about that.
The only person that kind of person would vote for in a category. I mean, he's very, very into his categories of people.
Right. But my point is, like, yeah, Joe from Phoenix is one of those anti-white mixed people, which a lot of them are. They're pretty radical. Some of them are even more radical than that. But, like, Jussie Smollett. But why hate that? That's like an insane thing. And I didn't really pick up on that or react to it until just now. I was thinking about it during maybe my beach stream, beach walk. But anyway, that's not really why you called.
Yeah, no, why I hate anything is the main message I've got from Jussie over the years. I don't agree with no boy on everything, but why I hate anything is the real, real key. Like, why are we into that?
There's no reason. There's never a reason.
It's all about getting over that kind of stuff. Like, I've been learning in this kind of biblical counseling / psychology class recently. It's we're doing this group presentation this week, and it's all on anxiety and worry. And we learned on the secular psychological side is that when they're measuring brain waves, that anxiety and fear is generally associated with decreased alpha waves and increased beta waves in the brain.
Wow.
And I'm like, whoa, I don't know if Jussie necessarily knows that part, but how that almost directly translates to what he's talking about, because people with more beta waves are generally more fearful and scared and anxious and all this stuff. And people with alpha waves are able to, you know, just kind of move on and just like live in the moment and not be, scared of stuff.
Wow. That is so interesting, like, man.
I read that the other day, and I was like, what the? Oh, man. Just little points that have kind of gotten in my head over the last few callers is, you know, this guy called Jussie this morning all drunk, or at least he sounded that way, and he was just like, are you sure that, you know, Trump's all what you say he is and all this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, dude might not be the most perfect individual in the world. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm sticking with that guy to the end of all this, because here's my point blank example of why there's no one else on that main scene that has, and there's no other choice really. If you look back at like the last five presidents, maybe just in recent examples in my lifetime, every president has had bad things that they've done. Right?
Clinton,
H.W. Bush, Bush after that, Obama especially, they've all done bad things,
yeah.
Right? But none of
them... Even Reagan.
None of them, especially after they got out of office, have been radically criticized to the point that Trump is.
Yeah.
It's like even like George W. Bush did terrible things with the war on terrorism and all that.
Yeah.
Clinton was bombing people like crazy, but when they all got out of office, even when they were in, it was kind of like the media itself was like, well, these people are just fine, aren't they just honorable presidents, da da da.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so it shows me that it's like, okay, so they're radically criticized Trump about every single thing.
Yeah,
it's like there's something to that,
right?
There has to be a reason that they are specifically against this one guy, even though he is just as flawed maybe as the rest.
You know,
but they don't overly criticize Obama. They still look at George Bush like he's some saint in some way.
Right.
It's like, no. Like, so that's why I can't, it's like the hypocrisy of that alone makes me go, okay, there's something to this guy that I have to support because the corrupt establishment has been so against him from day one.
That's an interesting point, man. I had not considered that, but I mean, maybe it's just one of those things that's so obvious and in your face, but you're right. They're trying to bury him endlessly.
Yeah.
They can't get over it.
Like, it's like all the war crimes, for instance, that happened with Iraq and Afghanistan, with even in the Gulf War with HW, Clinton did a lot of crazy stuff with the corruption of the cigars and Monica Lewinsky and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But they're not actively trying to prosecute him and sending DAs after him all over the damn place. And they're not sending them after Bush. They're not sending them after Obama, even though they, you know, drone struck civilians and all that stuff. Like they don't. So why is it this guy that has to be brought down so bad?
It's pretty nakedly.
That means there's something to him. That means that he's actually against the corruption.
Yeah.
So that's what it is to me. There's a little note I'm going to pick up all the time, but I'll say, you know, increase your puppeteering skills. You're doing good with that. You're a regular Carol Spinney and you're Jim Henson.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it, bro.
It's good to hear from you, Mr. Pink.
Yeah, for sure. I haven't been in the chat and stuff recently. I've been getting over some surgery, so it's good to be back in full effect.
Oh, good. Well, continue to get well, man.
Yeah, I'll be all right. But appreciate y'all, and keep up the good work, as always.
All right, man. Take care.
Peace.
Bye. Yeah. Okay. David in Kansas is on the line here. David, thank you for calling here. What is up, David?
Hi, Hake. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Well, I feel like I'm a little late in the game, but I'm on the same topic about anger. This morning, a friend of mine and I got into a little argument. And the thing is like, just a brief history. You know, we were both best friends in high school, and we grew up together, and we ended up joining the Army together. He actually ended up went to Iraq, and I ended up getting out on a medical disability. So I didn't go, but that...
You're breaking up right now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. So what is your opinion to?
Oh, no, David.
You know, we
David, I'm going to have to... Let me put you on hold. Let me put you on hold. Don't hang up. I want to make sure that we get your phone right. It's kind of coming in and out. I don't know if it has to do with where he is or how he's holding the phone or whatever, just this bad signal. Or if he's under something in the side of a building. In the meantime, let me read this from the news. The SATs, they're bringing the SATs back. I heard that they got rid of them because during the China virus, people couldn't go and take the SATs. And so for 2 years, it seems like, schools were shut down. People missed their whole seasons in overreaction to the China virus. It's shameful. But CNN says criticism has dogged standardized tests for years. And I say that it's liberals crying racism. Some colleges are reinstating SAT requirements for admissions after suspending them during the China virus scamdemic. So my caller, who was just on the phone with me about an anger incident with his friend, David from Kansas. His phone is too bad. He's going to call tomorrow, hopefully. So won't be able to get back to him today. But let me plow through this. I only have about 5 minutes because I gotta end on time for Joelle Friday TV, guys. SAT acronyms originally stood for Scholastic Aptitude Test. It doesn't stand for that anymore. Developed in the 1920s by Princeton-based eugenicist. They have to call him eugenicist. Carl Brigham. Who believed immigration was diluting American intelligence, which could be. Wow, in the 20s he was concerned about immigration. Didn't we have a pause in immigration in the 20s or something like that? Wow. And adapted U.S. Army mental tests to determine whether similar exams could measure innate student intelligence. Carl Brigham retracted some of his views several years later. That's according to Commie Nonsense Network. And I haven't looked into that, but it's sort of an interesting statement, huh? The College Board, the educational nonprofit that now designs and administers the SAT exam, told Commie Nonsense Network, CNN, that the SAT has been completely overhauled since the 1920s and now measures how well a student has learned specific content, not inherent aptitude. Is that a good thing? I don't know. doesn't sound good necessarily. The test's legacy is steeped in racism and classism, they say. Shaking my head, that's commie nonsense for you, has raised questions about the need for high-stakes testing at all. Questions from liberals, right? The National Education Association, NEA, has noted the SAT and its counterpart, the ACT, can favor too heavily in the college admissions process. Too heavily for who or for whom? I think that this is that fake equality communism stuff where, oh, you're only accepting white men or whites in and Asians. You're not accepting enough black and brown people, which is communism, mama spirit. Dumb. A can't-do attitude. And I say that there's an overemphasis in college itself, as you well know. Some experts, because they've polluted and diluted the quality of college education and education, period. And probably they're doing that with tests themselves. Everything is politicized. It's crazy. Discrepancies with standardized testing appear to be symptomatic of the inequality endemic in the education system. It's supposed to be unequal. Some experts point out that doing away with SAT as admissions component, like many universities did, does little to remedy systemic inequality. In fact, it can bring the disparity into even starker focus, meaning it increases it. Because they didn't catch some of the smart blacks and Hispanics and women. They can be especially helpful in identifying students from less resourced backgrounds who would succeed at Dartmouth College, said Dartmouth in a statement, or their spokesman, right? Might otherwise be missed in a test-optional environment. With an abundance of high school GPAs surrounding 4.0 is straight A's, right? Supposedly straight A's. An SAT or ACT score is a proven differentiator that is in each student's and the university's best interest, said University of Texas Austin in a statement in March. So, that's another thing going on is grade inflation. I've been hearing about that for years. The teachers feel sorry for them, or the teachers have lower standards, or they make it easy, and they give them A's and B's when they should be getting C's and D's. Grade inflation. They're making it too cushy and too easy in America, and it's infecting everything. It's crazy to me. They're invading the SATs. So all these people said, oh, they're qualified. Even the non-affirmative action people are less qualified, I argue. Meaning the normal whites are less qualified than before, back in the day, I imagine. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? They get free A's because they don't want to be called racist. Yeah. I'm shaking my head. But I got to end anyway, guys. This has been the Hake Report. I did not get to the coffees. I will get to your coffees tomorrow, hopefully, okay? Thank you. I appreciate it. Joelle Friday TV is coming up next. This is Mary... No, it's not Mary Rice Hopkins. I forgot. I got to end. This is Soul Junk Sunday coming into Monday. Inner Space Man. Adios, America. Bye. So good. I'm doing strings, but that might be a horn.
The one, my blood that did it, but I ain't timid with it. Body rocking like acidic, and flow beyond the critics, cause I got the spirit's wit to just
blast past the critics who can't think how I think and feel how I feel, cause they ain't experienced it, so they flat don't get it. On the rear, I bust like Cape Canaveral, track my father's data, countdown to Catawan, pierce through inner stratospheres, penetrating atmospheres, pop your shutter shatter, splash down the splatter y'all with the inner space residue. No one here repressing you, sweat my full court press and still it don't keep me from blessing you. By reference where I bear, the tongue of my chronicles, the inner space.
What a vibe, man. Huh?
Spin that scroll again. These devils come in one way, but they flee in seven. See the spirit of the sun rise up and bring the kingdom
it's
in.
It's Christian.
The inner space, man. Inner space, man. Christ is front and center. Watch me rock a Jason. Others try and take us, but they got my place. Y'all need to feel the blast of the inner space. See?
H-R-I-S-T. Christ.
Slice through lesser powers like a knife through butter. Coming with the inner while y'all come with bling bling. Can't comprehend the essence what the junk ding bring. Ring ring on the private line. Who can it be? What you know? God's thoughts flow direct to me. Mortal minds can't fathom how deep this goes. But yo, we connect like 20,000 leagues below.
Thank you, Hassan. I gotta get out of Joel's way. Dollar General ASAP Rock. He's white.
The nonsense and sacred powerless to transform for real. What's the deal? Yo, it's the inner space, man.
No, not
inner space.
Anchor Baby after Joel.
Christ is front and center. Watch me rock a Jason. Others try and say this, but they talk complacent. Y'all need to feel the
I gotta get out of Joel's way. Bye.
Inner Space Men.